This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and we're in the final 53 minutes of the Fall Member Fest, and we'd like to close with a bang rather than a whimper, and we'd like to hear from you. If you have been waiting on the sidelines, time is of the essence right now to show your support for public radio in Baton Rouge and beyond. And we're trying to get our membership up by 10%. We're about 50 members away from doing that, new members. And we'd like to make the goal this hour. That's a tough task, but we can do it. If you will call 855-893-9753, Gwen Pelagi, the membership manager, tells us there are still some socks available. And those beautiful WRKF socks that have been much talked about in this Fall Member Fest are still available at $5 a month, $60 a year, and you are a member in good standing of WRKF, and we wish to hear from you this hour at 855-893-9753. Let's not close with a thud. Let's make it something we can be proud of, and WRKF will not bother you for a while in asking for your support. This is something we only do a few times a year. It may be viewed as an intrusion by some, but it is essential to the well-being of this station. And again, you can make your voice heard in a tangible way, and you're in and out in less than 89.3 seconds at 855-893-9753. And we start with Danny Heitman, award-winning columnist for The Advocate. 33 years he's been on board at the newspaper of record in Louisiana, and he writes editorials, and as we know, Danny frequently writes elsewhere. His work has appeared in the Wall Street Journal, the Christian Science Monitor, the New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and two of his essays have been recognized as notable essays of the year, and that's what he does every Sunday in his column At Random. And he, along with the staff at The Advocate, are winners of the Pulitzer Prize for local reporting for this year, and the editorial staff was a runner-up, a finalist for winning Best Editorial for 2018, from the people who gives out Pulitzers, and those are not given out like candy. It is one of the great honors in American journalism, and good morning to you, Danny Heitman.
Good morning, Jim. I'm happy to be here.
And we live in interesting times, both locally, nationally, internationally. We all feel, of course, that no time is like the present, and that's true, but these are times where it's probably easy to write. There's a whole lot happening right now.
Well, there's certainly not a lack of topics. There's often a lack of wisdom, I think. I think, like many Americans, I often wish that I were wiser to be able to discern the seemingly chaotic political atmosphere in which we live. But I think it's a time for all of us in America to pray for wisdom.
877-217-5757 or talk at talklouisiana.org for Danny Heitman, who is a supporter of WRKF, as is his remarkable wife, Catherine, whose voice we hear quite often on WRKF. She has one of the great voices in the world.
Yes, and we're glad that she is with us. It would be an incompatible marriage if we didn't support public radio. We both grew up with it and are pleased to count ourselves as supporters.
33 years at The Advocate, the last 15 years writing editorials for Danny Heitman. And what's the distinction between being an everyday reporter and somebody who surveys the world at large and then decides to write essays and editorial columns? What's the distinction as far as your approach?
I think a reporter is tasked with telling readers the who, what, when, where, and of a story and a how, and an editorial writer is supposed to discern from those facts some point of view that we share with readers. I often tell readers who say, who are you as an editorial writer to tell me what to think? It is not our intention to tell anyone what to think. My hope is that we inspire people to think. I think our job is to advance a community discussion and not to end a discussion. We do not cast ourselves as the be-all, end-all monopoly on wisdom, but we do hope that we can advance a healthy civic discourse in our community.
And I write columns for Tiger Rag, and quite often I get people who disagree with me, and I like that because I know they're reading. They could be doing anything else in the world, but yet they're reading and commenting, And I take that as a badge of honor, even maybe even especially when they disagree with me, because quite often we as consumers of media, particularly in today's environment, we tend to gravitate toward those people we agree with. If you're a conservative and you like cable television, you're probably going to watch Fox. And if you're a liberal, you're probably going to watch MSNBC. It's that simple. But it is always impressive when people who disagree have taken the time to read and comment.
I have learned the most as a journalist from my readers, and I'm privileged to be able to connect with them, even and especially when they disagree with me. I've had numerous discussions this week with readers who disagree with our views, and I'm always heartened when those conversations are civil, and it's a privilege to connect with people. And as I always tell readers, the fact that you took the time to write or call suggests to me that you're civically engaged, and I think that is something to be commended.
And recently, The Advocate on its front page, this is somewhat unprecedented, it's happened a few times before, but on its front page had an editorial against St. George, against the incorporation of the Village of St. George, which is on the ballot October 12th. Did you write that editorial?
I did write that editorial.
I thought so. I mean, it had the Danny Heitman touch.
I always tell people that our editorials are in varying degrees collaborations, because we get input from everybody on the editorial board whenever we're shaping these editorials, but I was the primary author on that piece.
And I'm sure there has been a response.
I've gotten calls and letters and emails from folks who were supportive of the editorial. I've gotten calls and emails from people who did not like the editorial, and I'm happy to engage with folks on either side of that. I think people of goodwill can disagree about that issue. I think that's what makes America great, and so I welcome that. I welcome that engagement.
Danny Heitman doing his part to make America great again. 877-217-5757. Barry in Mid-City, you're on Talk Louisiana with Danny Heitman. Hi, Barry.
Good morning, and good morning, Danny.
Good morning.
I love reading you as much as possible, and especially when you're in the Wall Street Journal, which has been more than a few times, I believe.
Thank you, Barry.
I also wonder if you could comment on the challenge to print newspapers that social media, especially Facebook with its so-called news line, what that presents for all of you professionals, please.
I think social media is a great and promising platform for print media to use, and we do use social media as part of our outreach to readers at The Advocate. I do think that if you want news sources like WRKF or your local newspaper, it's incumbent upon you to support them either by contributing to WRKF or by subscribing to the newspaper. We don't exist unless people pay to support us. And I always tell readers who reach us with an issue they want us to cover, or if they send in a letter to the editor that they want published, I typically ask them, hey, do you subscribe to the paper? And quite often they don't, but they want the newspaper to be there. So I'm just going to encourage people, if you want the newspaper in your community, it's good to subscribe to it.
You have reached a new audience now with The Advocate in New Orleans. It's been there for a while, but now, of course, the Picayune is The Advocate, and it's a brave new world. It's an exciting venture. Of course, we've had consolidation in journalism, which probably is not a good thing, but you are with an entity that before the merger was the largest newspaper in the state, and now it is like the mega newspaper of the state. How is that process going?
It is always exciting to be in a growing institution. And it is also exciting to get new readers, because every writer wants readers. That's how we grow as writers. And so I welcome the opportunity that we've been presented to actually expand our readership. We're doing our best to serve our customers across South Louisiana. and we look forward to growing the paper more.
Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana, you're on with Danny Heitman. Hi, Henry.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Danny. And
good morning,
like
Henry.
Everybody else, I read Mr. Danny every Sunday morning and in various other publications that I see him pop up in. I read the editorial on the front page, and I tend to agree with it, although I wish he would have added the racial aspect of it, but I guess he didn't want to get into that, but that's fine. The thing that really got me was, I think it was yesterday, there was a letter to the editor, and I commend y'all for printing it, but from somebody that complained that y'all have the audacity to publish your opinion. And I just wonder where that reader was over years past when not an election went by that all the newspapers traditionally endorsed who they wanted to.
Okay, we've got to take a break, but we'll get Danny's response to Henry after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We've got 40 minutes before the finish line of the Fall Member Fest, and this is the time to show your support for WRKF. You've been on the sidelines. It's important to show your support, and this is an opportunity in the final 40 minutes to do so. 45 members now, new members to go. The last hour of the Fall Member Fest, thanks to Franklin Foyle, Emma Smith, Val Dufell, and Matt Copeland, who have joined forces. And I hear Danny's level is a bit low, so JC, can you pot him up a bit? And Danny Heitman is here for a bit longer. And again, if you'd like to show your support for WRKF, we want you to do so. And you've got 89.3 seconds to get in and out, and you've got about 39 minutes now to get in before the finish line. 855-893-9753. 855-893-9753. Danny Heitman, editorial writer for The Advocate for the last 15 years, 33 years at the newspaper, and a guy who could work most anywhere in the country, but has chosen Baton Rouge to do so. His partner in crime, if you will, is Lanny Keller, who also has a distinguished career, mostly in this area. And together, they are quite a force. And often these unsigned editorials from The Advocate are exceptionally well-written, and nobody gets credit. And sometimes it's a collaborative effort, as you heard Danny say. But sometimes you can tell it's either Danny or Lanny, if you know them well. Danny wrote the editorial a few days ago, saying that St. George was not a good idea, and that village is on the ballot for October 12th. And a listener asked Danny about only people in St. George getting the opportunity to vote, and how did that happen? There was an effort to change it, but it was after the fact. The listener asked, why wasn't this addressed on the front end rather than the back?
I think the decision about who gets to vote is decided at the legislature, and there was legislation offered to change the current rule, which is that only the people in the proposed incorporation get to vote. Our position at The Advocate was whatever one thinks about the rules, they should not be changed in midstream. We didn't think that was fair to the people of St. George who had followed the rules, going out and gotten the petition signed to change it in midstream. I would like to speak briefly, Jim, to the caller who asked about a reader complaining that we had opinion in the newspaper. We do, of course, have an editorial page, and we do offer commentary. We make an effort to label it as opinion so that people can make a distinction between news, in which we try to keep opinion out of it, pardon me, and the editorial commentary, which we label as such.
Patrick in Inniswald. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana with Danny Heitman.
Hey, Danny. I'm a big fan of The Advocate. Years ago, I remember like 2011, 2012, not that long ago, but we used to be able to make a comment to a newspaper article. You used to be able to use a pseudonym, and the comments were easily readable at the bottom of the page. And, you know, there was a moderator, so if you made a really outlandish or used curse words, they would remove your comment, which was, you know, I can understand that. But now it's like the comments are hidden. You got to go underneath all the ads. You got to click on the want to see comments. And it takes a little bit. It's and then you got to use Facebook, so you got to use your real name. And the problem is that stops like whistleblowers, you know, someone that might have real good inside information that doesn't want to put their name out there because they got to use Facebook to make a comment.
Well, we try to get people to put their names on comments because we think it brings a certain amount of accountability to it. If someone goes on a comment section at the newspaper and says, Jim Inkster, you know, kills babies, Jim Inkster kind of has a right to know who is saying that about him. As far as whistleblowers, if someone calls a newspaper and speaks to a reporter and has confidential information and they want to keep their name out of it, we can judge those things on a case-by-case basis.
And there is, I mentioned that I like it when people write even negatively about something I've written, but I don't like it when they don't use their real name. And there's a lot of keyboard courage out there where people will post things and not show who they are because they don't want to let people know who they are, and that's not fair, as you say. If you're going to attack somebody, you got to let people know who you are if it's going to be a fair fight. 877-217-5757. Another listener notes that Danny often writes about matters that are not politically oriented. In fact, his At Random column is rarely political, if ever. But a recent column was about libraries. And, you know, that's something that if I were writing a column, I probably would never think about. But I sure enjoyed reading your column, and the listener did as well. You go places others don't, and that's part of the Heitman touch.
I think that I know that I crave a small respite in my week when I can engage with a writer who is not talking about current events or politics. And I'm always heartened when readers say that they enjoy the opportunity through the column to discuss things that are not political. So I'm gratified by that. I will say about libraries that one of the more encouraging things that I know about in our community is the fact that you can drive by a library, public library in Baton Rouge, any day of the week, and the parking lots are typically crowded. That is a great thing in a state that desperately needs to expand its circle of readers.
Well, yeah, we have a high illiteracy rate, but we also have a high consumption of information at libraries, and that is an interesting juxtaposition in Baton Rouge. Through the years, for those who have read Danny, he's written about his family, and his children are now grown. And we've been through that process, and you have noted it was tough letting them go. And you went to college recently, back to college.
Both of my children are living in Dallas now. My daughter is graduated from LSU, proud graduate of the E.J. Orso School of Business. She's in sales in Dallas, and my son is pursuing a degree at University of Texas at Dallas. It's completely accidental that they ended up there in the same city, but it makes visiting them a lot easier. So.
Was it hard to let go?
Well, my son had gone to the Louisiana School for Math, Science, and the Arts, which is a public boarding school for gifted kids in Natchitoches. So we did have a little bit of some training wheels with letting them go. But it's always difficult to let kids go because, of course, my wife and I love them a great deal. But we're gratified that they are both independent, kids. They're adults now, and they're doing well. And it heartens us to know that they're doing so well.
And another listener notes that you have kept the flame of John James Audubon alive, a fine book about that great Louisiana treasure, and he is a Louisiana treasure.
He is. My book about Audubon's time in Louisiana was published in 2008, and next year it is going into reprint as a paperback, so we're very excited about that.
Well, Danny, we thank you for your work, and it's been too long. We need to have you back more often. But Danny Heitman and Lanny Keller are the people who write most of the editorials, but you have some assistance. I understand even Peter Kovacs gets involved every now and then.
Peter does write it. Peter's a great writer, and also we have added to our editorial board Stephanie Grace and Will Sutton, who was just hired. He just started this week, so we've actually expanded our editorial board, and we look forward to having their voices in our editorial page, in our views column as well. So,
well, thank you. And At Random this week, what are you writing about?
I am, Jim, I'm writing about Farmer's Almanacs, oddly enough, which has nothing to do with Donald Trump or Congress or Nancy Pelosi or anything of the sort. So,
well, we'll read it this Sunday in the Advocate. And a reminder that we have 31 minutes now, and we're down to 41 new members to go. 855-893-9753. Let's finish with a flourish. 855-893-9753 to show your support for WRKF. And particularly new members, we want to get those 41 in the final few moments. Thanks to Misha Thompson, Gina Sledge, and William Emblem, who have joined forces in the last few minutes. And again, it's 855-893-9753, and there's still some socks available. Not many, but if you get in under the wire, you can get the WRKF socks. $5 a month, $60 a year. That's all it takes to get the socks that everyone's buzzing about, and you'll be part of the family. You'll be a shareholder in WRKF, and you'll be celebrating the 40th anniversary of the station with us next January. 855-893-9753. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. 27 minutes to go now in the Fall Member Fest, and we'd like to hear from you if you're a person who's listened to the station for a while and hasn't contributed. We're trying to get as many new members as possible, and we're inside 40 for the number we sought, which was 300 for this drive, new members. And you can contribute at any level, but at $5 a month, you get those WRKF socks. $60 a year, and you will be a member in good standing, thanks to Jackson Wright, who's the latest to call. 855-893-9753. Let's do this in grand style as we close out this hour. Now 26 minutes and 15 seconds to go in the hour. 855-893-9753. We're joined now by the intrepid investigative reporter, Dan Moldea, who has spent his career ferreting out criminals of various sorts and has a body of work about various topics that rivals any journalist in America. And he changed the career paths of David Vitter, Bob Livingston, and Newt Gingrich with his reporting through the years. And in Washington right now, where Dan is, the buzz is, of course, about what's happening with an impeachment inquiry started by the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Today's New York Times, just when you think it can't get any weirder, has a story, says President likens his accusers to spies. President Trump and staff members at the United States mission told staff members at the United States mission to the UN on Thursday that he wants to know who provided information to a whistleblower about his phone call with the president of Ukraine, saying that whoever did so was close to a spy, and that in the old days, spies were dealt with differently. That comment stunned people in the audience. According to a person briefed on what took place in a partial audio recording of Trump's remarks, Mr. Trump made the statement several minutes into his remarks before a group of about 50 mission employees and their families. At the outset, he condemned former Vice President Joe Biden Jr.'s role in the Ukraine at the time when his son Hunter Biden was on the board of a Ukrainian energy company. Now, this, of course, takes it to a whole new level, and Donald Trump, as we thought he would, is fighting back, and Dan, it's getting ugly.
Oh, it's going to get uglier. It's going to get so much uglier. How are you doing, Jim?
I'm doing good to talk. Good to talk with you.
But, you know, the thing we got to watch out for is that Trump, I think, has proven to be the best jiu-jitsu guy. You know, whatever hold you get him on, he's going to turn it around and reverse you on it. I mean, he has done this time and time again. There were a lot of reporters like me who really oversold the Mueller report, what to expect. In the Mueller report, I expected huge things to come out of it. I thought the Mueller report in and of itself was devastating, but the impact and the lasting resolution of what should have happened from the Mueller report just hasn't crystallized. But this one has happened. So this is a lightning bolt that came, and people are talking about a possible impeachment vote by the end of October and certainly by the end of the year. And so this things could happen very, very quickly. And, you know, if Trump decides to make a deal, this could just happen very suddenly. You know, this could all end very suddenly. But, again, it's impossible to predict when you have Trump because he has such an incredible team of attorneys and people who know how to reverse these holds in these jiu-jitsu matches that we get into.
877-217-5757. The president seems to thrive on chaos, and He's a man.
He's the best.
He's a man who's been down this road in various forms before, never quite like this. And those who think a deal is possible have to contend with the fact that Donald Trump, who's the author, kind of The Art of the Deal, is not a guy who gives up quietly. And in this case, he has a lot of people cheering him on, Dan. He has about 40% of the country in his corner, so why should he give up?
40% of the country and 89-90% of his base. And as long as he keeps that 90% of the base, the Republicans running for re-election, for election and re-election next year, are going to be hesitant to oppose him or to speak out against him. He's a guy who knows how to intimidate not just possible rebels from his team, but he also knows how to intimidate witnesses, which is, I think, the point of what's going on with his speech yesterday, where he was talking about people being spies and people supporting those spies and how to deal with those people. That's sheer witness intimidation.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. And Gwen Palagi tells me we're now 37 new members away, so we've got 22 minutes to get there, and we'd like to hear from you. 855-893-9753. It'll be quick, simple, and you'll have done your good deal, a deed. Again, 855-893-9753. Good question from Holly in the Garden District about Joe Biden. He is being, of course, tarred and feathered by the president, and he's not getting ample response time. That's just the nature of the beast. What is this doing to the Biden campaign?
It's got to be hurting it, although from what I understand, I am no expert on this Ukrainian business, but from what I understand, you know, there was an investigation of Biden and his son Hunter, and I'm under the impression that they were cleared of any wrongdoing. Now, you know, I don't know if Trump and Giuliani share my enthusiasm for that, but that's what I understand. But I don't see any way that Biden is helped by all of this. And, you know, and I think Biden's been on borrowed time for a long time on this as it is. I mean, my candidate is still Hillary Clinton, but unfortunately she's not running. I mean, I just keep hanging on to the water wagon here. But I still think she's the only person around who has proven to be able to take it right to Trump and give him the fight that he needs. I like Elizabeth Warren and her ideas and everything else, but every time I look at her, I think of her ringing a school bell, and I just can't imagine her going up against Donald Trump like Hillary did. I thought Hillary ate Trump alive in all three debates in 2016.
She won the debates on points, but on style, there is a prejudice in this country. Let's face
right.
it, Dan, when you're a right. woman and you're tough, yep. you quite often don't get style points.
Well, you know, then it's going to be particularly difficult then for Elizabeth Warren. So I'm trying to figure out what we're left with among the Democratic nominees. And I like Steve Bullock from Montana. I think he's a terrific guy. I think he's a good moderate in that he can attract people in the center, which is what you're going to need to win. And I wish Bullock was getting a little more attention than he's getting right now.
877-217-5757 for Dan Moldea, Skipper in Gonzales. Skipper, you are on the air with Dan Moldea.
Yes, Dan, I appreciate it. I wish you could comment on what I heard about the whole Ukraine thing is basically the president asked a Ukrainian president for the truth about a vice president that may have been crooked, and for that we want to impeach him for it. It doesn't sound an impeachable offense.
Well, that's why they have impeachment inquiries. The inquiry is going to be the investigation. I hear what you're saying. You know, there's a lot that's going on here, but what the allegations, as I understand, have been is that Trump was not unlike some mafia guy going to somebody and basically saying either or, you know, either do this or you're going to have trouble. And the fact that money had been withheld from Ukraine indicates to many that he was trying to make good on this extortion scheme. I mean, there people are literally describing this to a mafia shakedown. And so the inquiry is going to be about investigating these things. Trust me, you can't impeach somebody without public support.
Well, and the president was mentioning Rudy Giuliani, who doesn't work for the government. Why would he bringing in his private attorney into this conversation?
Excellent point.
Unless it was a personal matter. In this case, he was trying to hurt a political rival. Let's face it, that's what this is about.
Absolutely
now,
right.
Now,
yes.
Whether it's impeachable, that's a different question. But Dan, as writers over the last few days have noted, you don't really have to commit a crime to be impeached. It's all about the dignity and the decorum and the tradition that the office of the president has, and we heard that during the Clinton years. And it's remarkable how some of those, like Lindsey Graham, who are all over Clinton for defiling the Oval Office, he's now solidly on the Trump train.
It's a political process. Impeachment's a political process. I'm looking right now at the MSNBC, the screen. They're saying that they needed 218 votes for the Democrats needed for it to back impeachment. And right now they've got 224. So they're six over right now. And so right now there's the impeachment inquiry. When they do the official, you know, when they start voting for the official impeachment investigation, when the Judiciary Committee takes over, that's when this thing is going to get really deadly serious. And frankly, I see that happening fairly quickly.
877-217-5757 and 855-893-9753. That's the number to call. We're now 16 and a half minutes away from the finish line, and we need to get to as many of you as we can under the gun here. Before we reach 10 o'clock, thanks to Eric Thomas and Paul Clifton who've called in the last few minutes. And remember, don't miss an opportunity to receive the WRKF socks, $5 a month. And your contribution now means an additional $50 for the station because of a bump that's been provided. Again, it's 855-893-9753. Jim on airline. Jim, you're on the air with Dan Moldea. Hi, Jim.
Hi, gentlemen. A couple of quick points. One is that impeachment is for high crimes and misdemeanors, and shoplifting a pack of chewing gum is a misdemeanor, and I think clearly violating the law where they are required by law to turn over the whistleblower account to Congress is a wee bit more of a misdemeanor than shoplifting a pack of gum.
Dan?
That's what we're going to find out. Again, I have no absolute truths here. I'm a little gun shy here because, again, I was one of those reporters who overplayed my hand on Mueller. So I'm being real careful right now about making any predictions. I mean, you could be right, and I've seen Trump and his team squirm out of these things before. Again, with regard to the Mueller report, I still think the Mueller report is absolutely devastating.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll return in 2 minutes with more from Dan Moldea, one of the best investigative reporters of all time, following the Trump train, and we'll see where it's going. 33 new members to go, 855-893-9753. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We are now 13 minutes away from the finish line. We'd like to hear from you in the Fall Member Fest as we call it a close, and it's an honor to be the final voice you'll hear for the Fall Member Fest, and we want to make sure that we do a good job closing it out. We want particularly new members to call, and many of you have done so in the last few minutes. Thanks to Emily Dale, 855-893-9753. And remember, you can get in for $60 a year and be a member, $5 a month, and you get the WRKF socks, and you're out in 89.3 seconds or less. 855-893-9753, and we're with Dan Moldea for a bit longer, the seasoned investigative reporter following the case against Donald Trump. The impeachment inquiry has begun. The House Speaker made that happen a few days ago, and senior White House officials, as reported by the New York Times, tried to lock down a record of President Trump's call with the president of Ukraine in an attempted cover-up. This is the actual word used in a story about this, an attempted cover-up of the Trump efforts to compel an investigation of a Democratic rival. A whistleblower alleged this in an explosive comment released Thursday, writes Michael Shear on the front page of today's New York Times. And Dan, as we've often heard in the Watergate case, the cover-up is often greater than the crime. And in this case, here's the word cover-up used in the first graph of a story on the front page of the newspaper of record for the United States, if not the world, the New York Times.
Well, we're going to have to come up with a new math here because now people are talking about the cover-up of the cover-up of the crime. And that's what they say there was going on in the White House. There was the crime, then there was the cover-up, and then they had to cover up the cover-up. And so we are looking beyond the looking glass on this. Can I mention something?
Certainly.
Just a little bit off subject here? As some people who know my work understand, I am Ahab, and the Jimmy Hoffa murder case is my white whale. Today, there's going to be a movie that's going to have its world premiere up at the New York Film Festival called The Irishman. And it's a story about the life and times of Frank Sheeran, who was an alleged hitman who did work for Hoffa, among others, and who claimed falsely that he was responsible for murdering Jimmy Hoffa. I just want to make sure that this movie is on everybody's radar screen, because it's going to be important. And there are going to be developments in the Hoffa case that are going to be starting to come within the next few weeks. With regard to the Hoffa case, and this particular movie, it's being directed by Martin Scorsese. Robert De Niro is playing Frank Sheeran. Al Pacino is playing Jimmy Hoffa. Joe Pesci is playing Russell Bufalino. Harvey Keitel is playing Angelo Bruno. And the screenplay was written by Steve Zalin, who won an Oscar for Schindler's List. I mean, he's a terrific screenwriter. I'm not a big fan of the book upon which this movie was based, but I do hope that the Jimmy Hoffa murder case is a murder case that must be solved. You had an American citizen who disappeared in broad daylight from a public place, never to be heard from again, and these are things that can't be tolerated in America. We have to solve this Jimmy Hoffa murder, and I'm hoping this movie, The Irishman, despite all of its flaws, especially about a guy who confessed to a murder he didn't commit, I'm just hoping that this helps create an environment where we can finally, once and for all, solve the Jimmy Hoffa murder case, which I have been involved in since day one, since July 30th, 1975.
All right, it's been 44 years. And again, in our final moments, we're now 9 minutes from the finish line, and we want to hear from you. So if you can, even if you have to get off to the side of the road, please get in under the wire 10 o'clock, 855-893-9753 to show your support for WRKF. Connie and Baker. Connie, you're on the air with Dan Moldea. Hi, Connie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering, does it strike you as curious that these documents, the Ukraine information and the whistleblower information, were released so quickly and easily, it seems? Couldn't Trump have declared executive privilege?
All right. Thank you, Connie. Good question. He has so in the past. Why did he release these documents?
I don't think he thought it was that damning. That's the speculation right now. His staff may have been saying, don't release these. And Trump said, hey, you know, I can shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and not be held accountable for it. And he probably thought, let's get this over with. Let's just release it. That's the speculation that I'm hearing right now, that Trump just, overbet and decided to jump shift his own staff and decided to release this document. I mean, when you start talking about executive privilege, that has become synonymous with cover-up. And we know that from those of us who are old enough to remember Nixon and the Watergate years, remember that and how, you know, executive privilege was abused.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Dan Moldea. Good morning.
Morning. Assuming that the evidence develops such that Trump wants to cut the ultimate deal to avoid going to prison, should the Democrats hold out for Pence to go too? So that.
All right. What about Mike Pence? Thank you, Dan.
That's a great question. And I'll tell you what I thought was going to happen was, and what I was hearing, and there were no leaks coming out of the Mueller investigation, but I had heard that Pence was on Mueller's plate. I heard it 100 times. What the scenario that was presented to me was that this was an Agnew situation where they were going to get the vice president before they got the president, Agnew before Nixon. And none of that happened. I would, given a choice between Pence and Trump, I mean, God, what a horrible choice that is. But I will take Pence in a nanosecond because he doesn't have the billions of dollars that Trump has to do what he does in order to survive. I mean, I cannot believe that Trump has taken on everybody. I mean, everybody. And he has continued to survive. I mean, I got to tell you, I don't like this guy at all, but I got to admire his ability to fight back.
All right. Thanks to Ron in College Town, Robin McAndrew, Randy Lankto, 29 new members to go. And even if you're not a potential new member, we wish to hear from you. 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753. We are 6 minutes from the finish line. David in Atlanta. JC, I think you're going to have to pull up, David. There we go. David, you're on with Dan Moldea. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Evidently, the Attorney General, William Barr, had knowledge of Trump's phone call to the president of Ukraine, and he launched no investigation. Should the Democrats bring formal impeachment charges against William Barr, and could he be subject to criminal prosecution?
All right. What about Bill Barr's involvement?
Barr is really a wild card in this thing, and geez, ow, he's be performing as like he's Trump's personal attorney, and he seems to be protecting Trump at every level at DOJ, and that is fraught with all kinds of peril when you think about the corruption of the Department of Justice. Very scary stuff. Again, needs to be investigated.
And ironically, the Ukrainian leader who's in the middle of this, his name is Volodymyr Zelensky. So, Dan, we have gone from Lewinsky to Zelensky.
Zelensky, well said.
Lewinsky to Zelensky. In your mind, based on what you know now, which is the more serious, what Clinton did or what Trump is accused of doing?
Well, let's see. Lying about sex versus mafia-like activities against foreign leaders, especially when they're in opposition to Trump, with whom Trump is alleged to be his, you know, Vladimir Putin zombie stooge. You know, we're in big trouble right now if any of this stuff is true. And so the investigations have to proceed, but just watch for the obstructions. Watch for the obstructions. They're inevitably going to come. And, again, Trump is as good as anybody when it comes to obstruction.
Thank you, Dan Moldea. It is
always a pleasure. Jim. Always a pleasure to be with you.
And
bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. And we'd like to hear from you. We've got 4 minutes to go before the finish line for the Fall Member Fest, and thanks to many of you who've called this hour, and there is still time to get in. 855-893-9753. Let's make those phones ring and sing in the final 4 minutes. 855-893-9753 to show your support for WRKF. And we'd like to thank you for the support we've received over the last week and a few days. As mentioned, we only do this a few times a year, and the support has been heartening. And the new members, we're right there. We're about 25 away, and even though we may not get them at 10 o'clock, by 10 o'clock, we can get them in the next few hours if you pledge online at WRKF.org, trying to grow membership by 10%. What we found over the last few years is that many of you contribute and at high levels, but it's quite often the same people. And we thank you for those who, some of whom have contributed for 40 years consecutively. It is you that you're the people most responsible for this station being what it is. But we have to get new members and get more people involved and keep the tradition going with people who will be around for a long, long time. If you contributed for 40 years, well, we know you have to be probably at least 50 years old, and we want to get some young people in particular in under the finish line. If you're a college student, $60 a year may be a lot of money, but it's something that will show your support for WRKF, and there are few investments, if any, that would be better for your community, and you'll get those beautiful socks that we've been touting that are the talk of the town, $5 a month, $60 a year, if you call 855-893-9753. And it's been a privilege to be with you in the final hour of the Fall Member Fest, and we're pleased that it's gone well, but we can make it really finish with a flourish if you call in the remaining 2.5 minutes, 855-893-9753. For 40 years, this has been a treasure in the community, and we know, based on conversations with others and arts organizations on this show, that contribution to the arts in general around the country, around the state, and in this community, they've gone down in the last few years, and the money is scarce, and people have to choose how to spend it, how to invest it, and this is a great investment for you and your community. 855-893-9753. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. For J.C. Kane and Kirby Ferries, I'm Jim Inkster. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.